9 years after Ireland's Good Friday Agreement, which led to a truce between Protestant Unionists and Catholic Nationalists, the Government of Northern Ireland was formed on May 8th of this year. The Reverend Ian Paisley, a Protestant and head of the Democratic Unionist Party, together with Martin McGuinness of the mainly Catholic Sinn Féin Party, were sworn in as the new government's leader and deputy leader, respectively. The two men put aside years of bitter rivalry and brought the peace process to a successful conclusion. In today's International Press Club, VOA's Subhash Voda talks with journalists from Britain, Ireland, and Northern Ireland about this historic achievement. After decades of violence and the loss of more than 3,700 lives, direct rule of Northern Ireland by London has come to an end. Earlier this month, the Protestant Democratic Unionists and the predominantly Catholic Sinn Féin agreed to share power, and a new government was installed. Dennis Staunton, Washington correspondent for the Irish Times, says that most people in Ireland approve of the new government.
Oh, it's been tremendously positive. But the symbolism of what happened in Northern Ireland this month has been so tremendous that nobody on that island could possibly have been unaffected by it. It's really been a very, very important moment psychologically and emotionally, as well as politically, for the people of Ireland.
Noel McAdams, political correspondent of the Belfast Telegraph, says people in Northern Ireland are encouraged by events, but remain watchful as to how the new government will behave.
I think people tend to be cautiously optimistic. I think there would be some concern that bad-friendly nature with these two parties diametrically opposed for generations, it may still not work. Now there is no major opposition within the Assembly. There's a stronger consensus. It should have a better chance of working.
Douglas Fraser of the Scottish newspaper The Herald says individuals chosen to lead the new government are the same ones who in the past have thrown up obstacles to compromise. Mr. Fraser says those individuals now bear a heavy responsibility to sustain the new order.
I think in Northern Ireland, those participants in the process realize that they have exhausted violence as an avenue to get them nowhere. In an open Europe where their neighbours both in Britain and in the Republic of Ireland are surging ahead in terms of strong economic growth, and there is no future for them in playing the politics of the past.
Many observers cite the close relationship between British Prime Minister Tony Blair and Irish Prime Minister Bertie Ahern as one of the key factors which led to the political breakthrough. Mr. Blair is leaving office soon, but Mr. Ahern, facing an election this week, hopes for another term. The Irish Times' Dennis Staunton says positive developments in Northern Ireland favor Mr. Ahern's re-election bid.
Well, it ought to help Mr. Ahern in that he's been Irish Prime Minister for 10 years. This is undoubtedly his most significant achievement, is his role in the Northern Ireland peace process.
Tony Blair and Bertie Ahern took office within weeks of each other in 1997. Mr. Blair leaves office on June 27th. British journalist Douglas Fraser says Prime Minister Blair deserves enormous credit for creating the conditions for a peaceful settlement in Northern Ireland.
10 years after Tony Blair came in, obviously everybody is looking at a legacy dominated by Iraq. But what everybody will give him credit for is sustained economic growth in Britain. But delivering on Northern Ireland after nearly 40 years of difficulty in the province is something that is very widely recognised as a very significant, lasting achievement.
Not to be overlooked, says the Irish Times' Dennis Staunton, is the role of the United States in acting as an honest broker among former belligerents.
The most important single decision that the United States made was in 1994 when former President Bill Clinton agreed to allow Gerry Adams, who was a leader of Sinn Féin, the political wing of the Irish Republican Army, which was the Irish Catholic armed struggle force, which he allowed to visit America. And this was against the wishes of the British government, against the wishes of the State Department. And it was before the Irish Republican Army had actually had a ceasefire. They were still killing people at this stage. And Clinton sent former Senator George Mitchell, who really was the man who brokered the deal between the two sides. The peace in Northern Ireland is a very, very significant American foreign policy achievement.
Analysts say that more than at any time in the past, one can be optimistic that the people of Northern Ireland can find a way to work together within a normal political process. Although frustrations, even setbacks, are certain to occur, the possibility of a better future through the new government has brought hope to Northern Ireland. This edition of International Press Club was written by Subhash Vohra. I'm Carol Castro.